Have you ever lamented over something? We don't often use the word lament these days. It means to mourn over what's happened, to have grief over what's happened, to regret, to be sorry for what has happened. It may be that you've had some harsh words, you've had a fight with a family member, and as a result of this, the relationship is now just broken down and you no longer speak to each other, and you look back and you lament this situation. Maybe you had a business deal where it was a sure thing and you've invested your money and you've ended up losing your money. And you look back at that decision and you lament what you did. You may look at your children and how they've turned out and lament what's become of them. You may rejoice, but you may lament. You may actually look at what's happening in Australia and in the world and lament over certain issues. You might lament what's happening with the environment. You might lament what's happening with world relations. Well, Lamentations chapters 4 and 5 are a lament. It's where God's people lament what has happened to them. The Israelites have come under the judgment of God. That's what David just read for us just then. It's what it means to be under the judgment of God and to be lamenting what has happened. And it's not a nice picture at all. As we go through this, we're going to see what it means for God's people to be under judgment and what it means to be under the judgment of God. Well, the first thing we see, the first thing I need to spell out is just a little bit of context if you're new with us today. What has happened is that the Israelites, as we read about them in the Old Testament, were God's chosen people. God had made them from one nation, from this man Abraham, and as you heard before today, he raised up Moses and others and he turned them into a mighty nation. They were to be his holy people who lived for him in this world. But yet, they persisted in their sin. They persisted in ignoring God, ignoring his word. And so God sends against them a nation called the Babylonians. And the Babylonians come and conquer the nation of Israel and bring God's judgment upon it. And the things they brought are the types of things that David just read to us in chapter 4 there. The Babylonians conquer the land from the Israelites and take many, if not most, of the Israelites into exile into the land of Babylon. Well, let's just have a look at what it was like for them to be under this judgment. The first thing we see is that they lose their glory of being God's people, that they lose the glory that come with it. So look at verse 1. How the gold has lost its luster. The fine gold become dull. The sacred gems are scattered at the head of every street. Now it's speaking there of God's people, but they were these gems, they were this gold. But now they've lost their luster. It's jewels scattered in the street. See how the precious sons of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay and works of the potter's hand. So you've got gold, or you've got the common pot, which is like the styrofoam cup of the ancient world. We've become like styrofoam cups. He talks about their infants, that nobody will feed them and they get fed by wild animals. Their princes, who once were full of glory, are now covered in shame. In chapter 5, which we haven't read, but as we looked at there, if we looked there, we'd see that their land has been given to others. Their enemies have been given victory over them. Their women have been raped. All their joy has gone. And now they lament. And that's what this book's about. It's about lamenting that these things have come upon them. We also see that they've been physically afflicted and that they've been killed with the sword. They're in famine. In fact, when they were under siege from the Babylonians, women even ate their own children. So great was the torment they were in. It says in chapter 4, verse 11, "The Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion and consumed her foundations." And this is why they're lamenting. This is why there's a whole book to this lamenting what has happened to them. They've also become unclean. We saw that in chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, "Go away, you are unclean." And they're now defiled with the blood of people. You see, that they were meant to be God's holy people. Holy because God had chosen them, and holy because of their conduct. But now they're the unclean people. Unclean under this judgment of God. And they lament being unclean this way. And this judgment, it also removed from them the anointed one. We see this in verse 20. It says, "The Lord's anointed," and the word for anointed is the word Messiah. So the Lord's anointed, our very breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow we would live among the nations. Now, it's referring there to the son of David. To King David, God made a promise that David would always have a son ruling in Jerusalem. He was the anointed king, the son of God, the king of Israel. And that was who their king was. And they thought that they, under David's shadow, under this one that God has appointed, that they would live among the nations. But even God's very anointed king, and you can read this in the book of Kings and in Chronicles, when the Babylonians come, they come and take the son of David, kill all of his sons before him, and then poke out his eyes with a hot iron. And so Israel has lost their God-appointed king. And so they lament. They lament this. Now we need to feel what Israel felt. To feel why they lament. This part of the Bible is here for us. We need to feel the weight of their experience. For this is what it means to experience the judgment of God. And it's an important lesson for us to understand. God punishes sin. And what we see here, it's more than just horrible. It's more than just horrific. It's actually horror. That is the way the Bible talks about it. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 28. This theme is actually, it goes right through from the law of Moses, right through the prophets. But I'll quote it to you from the law, from Deuteronomy 28. God is outlining what's going to happen to Israel. He says, if you obey me, there'll be blessing, but if you reject me, there'll be cursing. And in chapter 28, verse 37 of Deuteronomy, we read that God will hand them over to punishment, and you'll become a thing of horror, an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. Now, I don't know what you think about horror, but that's what we're confronted with in the book of Lamentations. The horror of God's judgment. Now, personally, I don't watch horror movies. It's just a genre of film that I don't watch. It's just a bit much. I think I watched one as a kid and I still have nightmares about it today, so I just don't watch them. But the judgment of God is your worst dreams. Maybe you've had a nightmare over something. The judgment of God is in that category. And we need to feel that. Because it's a significant teaching in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament when we look at it in a moment. And we need to feel their lament of being under this, because hell is actually worse than this. You might think that Lamentations 4 and 5 is pretty bad, the things that were spelled out, and they are. They're horrific, they're horror. But Jesus in the New Testament says to us there's actually something worse. Let me just read to you from Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. And remember, that's what the Babylonians actually did that when they conquered the king. They gouged out his eye. But Jesus said, it'd be better to have your eye gouged out, for it's better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, I don't say this lightly, but we need to understand what the Bible's saying at this point. When we read Lamentations, it is a horror. That is how the Bible interprets it, as a horror. But Jesus says that the horror of hell would be worse, where our glory will be lost, where we will be made unclean and physical punishment forever. And we need to take this seriously. Now, why did this happen to the Israelites? Well, throughout the book of Lamentations, there aren't lots of reasons given. There's only a couple of references. Most of the time, the book is just a lament. But there are a couple of verses where it actually says why it happened. And in chapter 4, there's one of them in verse 13. It says, "But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquity of her priests, who shed within her the blood of the righteous." And we see this again in chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, "The vision of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity." So the reason for this horror that's come upon the people is the failure of the leaders of God's people, the failure of the leaders of the Israelites. When we read through the history that we have in the Old Testament, we see that these prophets and these priests, that they accepted other gods apart from Yahweh. They said to God's people, it's okay to acknowledge other gods and to worship them. They ignored God's word. Instead of the priests teaching God's word, some did, but many of them turned away from God's word. We read here of the injustice as they brought the blood of the righteous, as they shed the blood of the righteous. So there was injustice, and sin didn't matter. The leaders of God's people didn't point out their sin. They didn't warn God's people to turn from their sins. And so, of course, this is instructive for our leaders today, isn't it? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says that the leaders in the church are appointed by God to guard over us. That's their job, to guard over us. See, the leaders within the church actually are part of the process of guarding our souls. That's part of the leader's job, to guard over our souls. And so when there's sin in the church, our leaders should be like Ezra in the Old Testament. Remember when Ezra came back and he found out that the Israelites had intermarried and were calling their children by the names of other gods and doing all these things? He actually tore out the hair from his beard. Now, I had a go at growing a beard a little while ago. It didn't go too well. But trying to pull your hair out from your beard, it's painful. That's what Ezra did as a lament about this, because of the sin in amongst God's people. Rather than actually leading people the wrong way, God's leaders are to lament over the sin within the church. They're to rebuke and to warn according to the word of God, God's people, so that they will stay on the straight path. But I have to say that today there are false teachers within the church, as there always have been. They don't teach the Bible. They don't correct. They don't warn. Some of them actually promote sin within the church, as the false prophets and the false priests did as we see here in Lamentation and in Israel's history. And we need to understand that just as the false teachers and the false priests and prophets in Israel's day led God's people into the judgment of God, that it's the same with the false teachers in the church today. Those who promote sin and lead to the acceptance of other gods and lead God's people down that path are actually leading them to a far worse judgment than what we read about here in the book of Lamentations. So I want to plead with you not to listen to false teachers, because this is where they end. In the book of Lamentations, we see where false teaching leads God's people to. And the Bible warns us that that is where you will get led to if you accept false teaching, if you reject the word of God, if you say that it doesn't matter, if you just say, well, I really like what they're saying. We need to defend our teachers who teach the word of God and correct us and warn us, even if sometimes we don't like what they're saying. Now, we need to do this because all of us are going to face judgment. And we see that in chapter 4, verse 21, when he talks about Edom. Edom was a local nation next door to Israel, and they rejoiced when Israel was conquered by the Babylonians. But he says here, God's cup is going to come around to you as well. You're going to face the judgment of God. And we need to remember that it's not just Israel who faced the judgment of God. It's not just Edom. It's all the nations. All of us will be judged by God. And so the Spirit of God actually urges us to lament. The Bible actually urges us to lament. Let me just read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and put out of your fellowship the man who's done this? So here was this church. There was sin in the church, and they were proud about it. I'm not sure the reason why they were proud, but they were. And he said, instead, you should have lamented that within the church there was that type of conduct. See, God calls upon us to lament about our sin. Well, let me read to you from James chapter 4. We get another big section about this lamenting. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve. Mourn. Wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see how lamenting is actually a theme in the New Testament. That when we're bound in our sins, when we're hardened in our sins, that we're not to go rejoicing and, you know, saying how great it is, but we're to mourn, we're to lament, we're to fast, we're to be sorrowful over the sin in our life. And the reason we do that is very simply this. Because if you lament now, if you lament about the sin in your life now and the wrong things, then you won't lament under the judgment of God. So you've got a choice, haven't you? We've got two options before us. We can rejoice in sin, we can be proud in our sin, we can excuse our sin now, and then we'll lament like the Book of Lamentations forever under the judgment of God. That's one option before us. The other option is that we lament and turn from our sins now, and then we'll actually rejoice forever in God's kingdom. This is why we need to lament for our sins now. But of course, if you do lament from your sins now, if you do lament over your sins, then because of what God has done for us, and really the hope that Lamentations finishes on, means that we'll actually rejoice now as well. So in Lamentations chapter 5 verse 1 it says, remember, O Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. He's calling on God to remember us. And in verse 22, O daughter of Zion, your punishment will end. He will not prolong your exile. And in verse 21, restore us, O Lord. Restore us to yourselves, O Lord, that we may return, renew our days as of old. There's not many of those references in the chapter, but there's a few. That the hope that God will do something for them, that God will remember them. I want to say that God has. This is what God has done for us in Jesus. Because the judgment of God that we see the Israelites suffering here is the judgment that we all deserve for our sin against God. The Bible makes that very clear that we're all sinners and we deserve the judgment of God. But God has done something for us. God has done something for us, and that is he sent Jesus, and Jesus suffered the judgment of God for us. He lamented, my God, why? And he did this in order to save us. In order that for those who lament for their sins and turn from their sins and turn back to God, that they may have forgiveness of sins in God's life. And so Jesus has been raised up in joy. He was crucified in shame and in lament, but he's been raised up in joy and in the new life of God. And so you can rejoice too. You can rejoice. And so I want to ask you not to be stubborn in your sins. Don't be stubborn, but come to Jesus. But I guess with a crowd like this, I need to say to you, don't lament in your sins either. Don't be burdened down by your sins. Don't let your sins get the best of you. You may well know that sin is bad and you lament it. Come to Jesus, because Jesus has suffered on our behalf. Jesus has brought the salvation and the forgiveness of God. You don't need to lament about your sins anymore. You can now come to Jesus and have forgiveness and have the new life that his life brings. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the warnings of the book of Lamentations. Father, please help us to take these to heart and to feel this pain of those under your judgment, but to realise that in your love and mercy now you have given us your joy, a hope and salvation. And we just pray that we will hold on to this as we put our faith in Christ. Amen.